Amen. Let us turn to our confessional reading this morning. As we have worked through the Ten Commandments, we come now to the Lord's Prayer, which begins with the Lord's Day, more on prayer in general, though question and answer 19 is the Lord's Prayer itself. So page 252 in the Smaller Forms and Prayers books. It can also be found in the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal. But page 252 in the Smaller Forms and Prayers. Question 117 is a little longer, but I think we'll still try to say each of these answers together. So we look at question and answers 116 to 119, beginning with question 116. I'll say the question, let us together say the answers. Question 116, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. 118. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. 119. What is this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is the confession we hold in common. Let us turn now to our scripture reading for this morning. Romans chapter 8, page 1201. That gunpowder store of Christian comfort, as one of the Puritans once called Romans 8. And we will be reading for some context from verse 18 to verse 30. But we will focus in on the two verses 26 and 27. But reading for context, starting from verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, let us hear the holy word of God. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So far, the reading. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a time of groaning and waiting. And we see that language, especially as leading up to our context in verses 21 to 23. There's this waiting in the creation, as the creation itself longs to be set free from bondage, verse 21. And then there's a language of groaning for the whole creation in verse 22. The whole creation has been groaning together. And then the groaning for us in verse 23. We ourselves groan inwardly. And then there's the language of waiting for us in verse 23. We wait eagerly for the adoption as sons. Well, there is one thing we do not have to wait for, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we do see the word groanings again, because it is the very Spirit of God who, dwelling with us, helps us in the groanings of our prayers. And that's the language of verse 26 and into verse 27. That's the language of our text. The Holy Spirit himself is dwelling in us, and the Spirit is our helper, assisting us specifically in the groanings of our prayers on this earth. The groanings of our prayers, which at times are even, as it says at the end of verse 26, too deep for words. So our theme this morning is this: to pray earnestly by the divine aid of the Holy Spirit. And if you're looking at the outline, I have just a small edit, and that is the end of verse 26 will be with our second point. So point two is verse 26c to 27. But we begin with our first point, which is the Spirit's guiding presence. And we're looking at most of verse 26 for this. And we begin at the start of that verse. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then we zoom in first on the word weakness. In what ways are our prayers weak while we are on this earth? Well, there are at least two ways. The first reason that our prayers are weak on this earth is because of our own sins. If we consider the will of God, and the end of our little two-verse text speaks about praying according to the will of God, due to our sins, there are times we don't even want to pray according to the will of God, much less to seek to know it. And so one of the first weaknesses of our prayers on this earth is because of our sinful nature. We are not yet removed from the weakness of sin. To use the language of verses 29 to 30, we are now being conformed to the image of the Son, Jesus Christ, and we are already called, but we are not yet glorified and made righteous. But now there's a second way in which our prayers are weak, and we're going to see that it's especially this second way what we're calling the second way that the Apostle Paul is focused on here. The second way our prayers are weak is not related to our sins. Sometimes it is just our weakness, our struggles, our uncertainties, our lack of knowledge and understanding which we have as finite creatures, mortal beings on this earth. Sometimes our weakness is not necessarily due to sin, but it's simply this lack of knowledge and understanding and strength. We cannot lift up our own burdens as we would even want to. We simply are not able to do it. And that is especially what the Apostle Paul is thinking about here. Because think about what language we have when it comes to the weakness of our sin. The Apostle Paul, just himself, in various different places, uses language like lay aside the weight of sin, or cut off, put to death the weight of sin. That is the kind of language we have with sin. But the picture we have in verse 26 is that of a burden which should be lifted. Don't just get rid of it. It's the burden of your weakness. It should be lifted. But now we look back, not at the word weakness, but we go back a couple words to the fact that the Spirit helps us. And now we get the full picture. And the full picture is this, that we have burdens, not the burden of sin, which must be rolled away, which must be cut off. No, we have burdens simply due to our weakness, to our lack of strength, our lack of understanding. And what do we do with those burdens? We seek to lift them up, but we don't lift them up on our own strength. We lift them up with the help of the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us to lift that burden up with us. That is the picture of verse 26. There is a load of cares that we have. And that's not tied to our own sinfulness. There's just a load of cares that we have. What do we do with that load of cares? We lift it, not on our own strength, but with the strength of the Holy Spirit who helps us. It is a joint effort. We have a helper. Our personal responsibility is not gone. The Spirit is coming alongside of us. It's still, we can use this language, our own prayer. And if we think about voiced prayers, we see a description of that back in Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. Romans 8 verses 15 and 16, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And so if we think of the words Abba, Father, as part of our prayer that we pray to, as Jesus himself taught us in the model prayer to begin with the words, "Our Father who is in heaven." Who uses those words? Well, they're our words. It's our prayer. But how can we know that those words are true? How can we have confidence to call the divine creator of the universe our Father? This is the Holy Spirit who bears witness, Romans 8, verse 16, of that truth in our hearts. And so you see, Romans 8, 15 and 16 is an example of how Romans 8, verse 26 is worked out. It's still our prayer, it's still our words, but it's the Holy Spirit testifying in our heart to the truth of that word so that we know when we say our Father, we really mean those words and we know the truth of those words. Father, I am your son, I am your daughter. And you are the God of the universe, but you are also my Father, and I know that you hear my prayer. So there is a working together. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He comes alongside of us. Our personal responsibility remains. And so as one minister said it, we don't just have let go and let God. Right? It's not just, well, okay, the Holy Spirit's got this. You know, I don't have to think about my prayers. It's not that. but it is also definitely not, I'm going to pull up my prayers to heaven on my own strength. No, it's the Holy Spirit is alongside us, helping us, lifting up the load of our cares, lifting up our prayers as our intercessor to the throne room of heaven itself. Now, how exactly does this work? Well, there's a certain mystery to this, but there is an illustration which helps us to come to understand how this works. And it's an illustration which Jesus Christ uses in a different context in John chapter 3. If you turn there with me, or you may be familiar with these words, you may even know what's coming perhaps. Jesus uses an illustration of the work of the Holy Spirit tied to salvation. And that same illustration is helpful in understanding the Spirit's aid and help in our prayers. And so this was when Jesus was visited by Nicodemus, the rabbi, at night. Nicodemus asks a question to know, how do you do these signs unless God is with him? And then verse 3, John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." And here now is the illustration. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so we ask, have you ever seen the wind? No. But do you see the impact of the wind? Do you see how the wind makes the grass and sometimes even the trees to bend? Yes, you see the impact of it. You know that it is real. And so it is with the salvation and then with the prayers of believers. Have you ever seen spiritual rebirth? No. But do you see the impact of spiritual rebirth in your life and in the lives of others? Do you know that the spiritual second birth is real? Yes and yes. By the grace of God, I am a born again Christian. Have you ever seen the help of the Holy Spirit in your prayers? No. But do you feel the impact of the help of the Spirit in your prayers? And do you know that the help of the Spirit in your prayers is real? I hope and trust that we do. And I hope and trust that in the weakness of our prayer life, we will know that we can confidently go to God, calling God our Father, the Spirit Himself bearing witness, that we can confidently lift up our load of cares, not by our own strength, but by the strength of the Spirit Himself helping us, lifting up our cares with us, and bringing them to God. Now this promise, it is only for believers. And so we have another connection now between the work of the Spirit in salvation and the work of the Spirit in our prayers. The Spirit only helps in prayer those who are born again by the Spirit. There must be trust in Jesus Christ. There must be a repentance of sin. There must be a leaning upon the Spirit. Question answer 116 says it this way, that God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. What is the gift of salvation? What is the gift of the Holy Spirit's help in prayer? These are divine gifts. These are gifts for no unbelievers. These are gifts for every believer. You trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. say yes and amen and know with repentance and faith that the Holy Spirit Himself is your divine guide and aid in prayer. I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier this week. He did not know that I was preparing for a sermon on Romans 8. And just in the course of our conversation, he said, "You know, I give thanks that God, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we have a real connection to God the Father." And I think that's a beautiful, plain way to say it. We have a real connection with God the Father by the Spirit. And so let's continue to consider this real connection as we come to our second point, the Spirit's interceding presence, the end of verse 26 and into verse 27. To understand the word interceding, it's helpful for us to think of the primary role of each person of the Trinity in our prayers. What does the Father do? God the Father invites us to pray. And God the Father is the primary recipient then in our prayers, just as, again, Jesus taught us to pray to our Father who is in heaven. What does the Son do? God the Son is our intercessor in heaven. There are a few places in the New Testament which clearly teach of this truth. One of them is just a few verses down from our text in Romans 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Christ is our intercessor in heaven. Now, what does God the Spirit do? Well, God the Spirit is another helper. And that's the language that Jesus gave to his disciples in John chapter 14. And now in Romans chapter 8, Paul the Apostle is detailing one of the chief ways that the Holy Spirit is another helper. And it is this, that as Christ is our intercessor, the one who helps, who shapes, who brings our prayers to God the Father, who's the primary recipient, Christ is not the only helper. There's another intercessor. There's another helper. It's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's not making his intercession in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. He's making this intercession from within the very hearts of believers with whom he dwells. Now, God is one. And so if you're ever praying and you don't even know which person of the Holy Trinity you're addressing, or you seem to get confused almost in a prayer and you're like, oh, all of a sudden I'm giving thanks in my prayer to God the Son. Well, don't be concerned about that. God is one. We bring our prayers to God who is one. But the language of Scripture speaks about primary roles of each person of the Trinity in prayer. And so if we do think about the three persons and we use this language of Scripture, brothers and sisters, know this. God the Father is the primary recipient of our prayers. God the Son is interceding at the very right hand of God the Father in heaven. God the Spirit is interceding from the very theater of our hearts. How can our prayers not come to God the Father? How could the load of care that we bring to God in prayer not come to God the Father? We have an intercessor in heaven. We have an intercessor in our hearts. And so, by the help of the Holy Spirit, our prayers do come into the very, here's the language of question and answer 117, the very majestic presence of God. Yes, we must come into God's majestic presence in humility, recognizing, here's again the language of 117, our need and our misery. But what is the very next sentence of question and answer 117? It speaks of the promise that we can rest on this unshakable foundation that even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer. Now the rest of question and answer 117 goes on to emphasize the intercessor in heaven. And that's probably because it speaks about our need and misery earlier in that question and answer. And who's the one who died for our sins? Who is our Savior by whose blood our sins are washed away? Well, that is Jesus Christ. So that's probably why question and answer 117 emphasizes that intercessor. But brothers and sisters, God surely hears our prayers, and there is a strengthening, a doubling of that promise, of that comfort to know this. We have an intercessor in heaven. We also have the intercessor in our hearts. And that is implied, the intercession of the Holy Spirit in question and answer 116, if we're just looking at the catechism. Just to consider our text now, Romans 8, that gunpowder store of Christian comfort, the intercession of the Spirit in our hearts, verses 26 and 27, the intercession of Christ at the very right hand of God, Romans 8, 34. And so, brothers and sisters, we bring our prayers to God with great confidence. Indeed, and now we're going to look at the end of verse 26. Indeed, God gives even this promise to us, that when we cannot even express our prayers because our load of care is too deep for words, because our groaning concerning the realities of this earth and the sufferings of this present time, to use the language of verse 18, when that is too much, that we cannot even express it in words, well, that's especially what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to focus on. The promise is that even those prayers are brought and are understood by God the Father in heaven, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Now, in order to think about this, let's think of like a bunker, an underground bunker of understanding the human heart, and three levels going underground. At the first level, other people can have some understanding of the pain and trouble of others, even if their own experience is not related. Okay. So the Apostle Paul, a man, can speak about the pain of childbirth as an illustration, even though we know that he's never experienced that. Okay. And he does that right in Romans 8, verse 22. And the Apostle Paul can also, a few chapters later in Romans 12, verse 15, give this wonderful challenge to the church that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. So this is the first level of the depths of the heart, of a bunker of understanding the heart. And on that first level, we can and we should have some understanding of even the heart troubles and the groanings of others. But there are deeper levels. And so when we get to the second level of understanding the human heart, we must acknowledge that there are ways that we cannot understand the troubles of others. God spoke to us of this truth through the wisdom of Solomon, and we read Proverbs 14 for our assurance of pardon. I said we'd get back to it. Here we are, Proverbs 14, verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. So what's the second level? The second level is, there are ways that we cannot understand either the bitter trials or the great joys of others. There is a point where other people simply cannot know. And there is this second level where a person can say, you don't understand what I'm going through. But that is not the deepest level. There's a third level. The bunker of understanding goes to this depth, that we cannot really understand our own hearts. Prophet Jeremiah says it this way in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You see, the third level is this, that we reach a point where we cannot understand our own hearts, where we can have a load of cares, which is the focus of Romans 8. It's not necessarily the focus in Jeremiah 17, but our text is Romans 8. What's the focus in Romans 8? The focus is on these sufferings, is on the trials of this present time, on this groaning of the whole creation and upon our own groaning. And now how do we bring our groaning? How do we bring our load of care? How can we pray earnestly? And there's times when we cannot understand our own heart. And what can we say? God understands. And when your load of care is too deep for words, you pray by the help, by the divine aid of the third person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit does understand. And so that care can be lifted into the very throne room of heaven. And there it comes to God the Father, who does understand. And we say, I can't even say it. I don't even know what's going on. But God, you know. And I bring it to your throne, and I leave it at your feet. And I say, forgive me of all my sins. And Lord, you know I have much other weakness for many other reasons and many other cares, and I leave all of those at your feet too. And I rejoice to know that you are not only the God of grace who forgives me of my sins and gives me confidence to call you my Father, you are also the God of mercy who loves me and understands me better than I understand myself, and you give aid to me. Brothers and sisters, there will be times when others cannot understand our struggle. There will be times when we cannot understand our own struggle, but God always understands. So let us learn in all circumstances to pray earnestly to Him, to lean earnestly on the very help of the Spirit Himself as we bring all of our cares to God our Father in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, surely, Lord, your word gives great comfort to us, your people. May we go forth through this day and through this week and through our lives knowing the comforting promise of the very divine aid of the Spirit. And Lord God, we give thanks.